Yeah, before we get started, I want to just give two rules of engagement, if that's okay. One is don't run right now, but if you feel the presence of God in an unusual way on you, anytime I'm talking, would you please just physically respond, whether it's a raising of a hand or standing up or even coming down to the front? You don't have to wait for ministry time to get free. If you feel like something is being broken off of you, freedom is no distraction to a believer. And so you can come up front and be free. Today I want to talk about something that's my favorite subject, one of them, and it's the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture. And the Bible to me is not an ancient book of literature that is beautifully written. It is the living, breathing Word of God. And I believe this morning it's coming like a sword to deliver some of us, to heal some of us. But my love for the Bible did not start on my own. It started with my Nana. Does anybody have a Nana in here? I've got a new Nana. My Nana's passed away, but I get a Nana, Nana B. I've adopted her as my Nana. She's our youth ministry Nana. It's like 300 kids know who she is. It's kind of wild. But my love for the Word of God started with my Nana. And when I was younger, I'd walk out to the living room and I'd find that my Nana was already reading her Bible. And, you know, at a young age, you're kind of like, yo, how early do you get up, you know? And I would go out there, and so I finally started getting up a little earlier. And I noticed my Nana do something super profound. She had an awareness of the presence of God that I did not understand being a Southern Baptist kid. And I love my Southern Baptist roots. They took me through Awana. Anybody in here ever been to an Awana? Yeah. If you don't know what Awana is, it's where we like had to memorize verses and then say them quickly to our Sunday school teacher or find them in the Bible for a candy or sticker. But my Nana would be out there, and one morning I got up, and I got up so early, I finally saw how she started her prayer session and reading the Word. She'd hold her Bible like this, and then she'd kiss it. And she'd open it up and begin to read it, and it was covered with lipstick and chapstick. And so finally I got the courage. Nana, why do you do that? It's kind of weird, right? And she looked at me and had so much emotion in her eyes. She replied with this, it stuck with me. It's the closest I can get to his face until he returns. And a love for the Word of God awoke in me. I was like, I want to know him like that. She's the only person my entire life that prophesied I'd be a pastor. She saw things that I wish I could see. And this love for the Word of God just awoke in me, and it's been awaking in America and in the world. Over the last 2 years in our church, we've given away over 3,000 one-year Bibles. Is that not amazing? And in the world, Bible sales are skyrocketing. They're going up 22% since October 2024, and then another 11% this year. So Bible sales are through the roof, and this is the best time for people to start falling in love with the Word of God. Yes. The darkest we've probably experienced the world, the brighter the light of the kingdom. And the Word of God is going to be something amazing, but one thing we're going to talk about today is sitting under the authority of the Word of God. And now I have a four-year-old son who thinks he's in charge. Anybody ever seen a kid, been around a kid who thinks they're in charge? Just last night, he had his shirt off flexing like this. And he's like, look at this, Dad. And I'm like, "What, dude, what are we doing? And my son knows he has the authority in the Warden home, but he doesn't know yet what submission looks like to his mom and dad. And we've been in a series talking about kingdom of authority where we've talked about how God rewired us and fixed the authority we gave away to the enemy. And Daniel talked about our identity in Christ, and that's where we should operate from, not towards, from. And Julie talked about a well of intimacy last week, and that's where things begin to flow. And today I'm going to talk about how do we activate the authority that we've been given with the Word of God. And what I want to say is I might sound slightly intense this morning. It's not because I'm trying to be intense. It's because the Word of God isn't a bubble machine. Amen. It's a sword. Amen. And when we talk about it, it does its job. And so I'm not gonna say anything wild or too wild. No promises. But the word of God has to sit here in our life. And unfortunately, the more I've traveled, the more I've talked to people, the word and the authority of God sits here, where our opinions, our thoughts, our preferences, and our political beliefs inform the word instead of the word informing those things. And so what begins to happen is we claim and we say, and I think with good intention, I want a life that looks like Christ. I want to look like Jesus. But this doesn't inform how I'm supposed to look. And it should. This thing has to sit here. Listen, I'm all about studying the word of God and going through all the things. But if I come out right and this is wrong, I'm definitely wrong. If my opinions and my judgment don't get cut by the word of God, there's something off. You might be reading the wrong translation. There is something that I think God is doing with his word in this generation, in Gen Z and Gen Alpha, but I think he's reminding the older generations about the love for the Bible. Yes. And the authority of scripture does a few things for us. And what I mean by that is when you said yes to Jesus, you didn't just say yes to him sitting on the throne, you said yes to sitting under his word. Yes. And this is what it says in Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. The ones you don't like, you don't understand, you pin to your refrigerator, all of it. And I want to create an illustration for you. If you read Genesis, it says that God breathes into Adam and then he comes alive. Yeah. The very breath of God to make you more alive than you've ever have been is in this book. Yeah. All scripture is breathed out by God. Then it goes on and says this, and it's profitable for teaching, meaning it's a good idea to pay attention. And then this next part is one of my favorite parts of this verse that a lot of people like to skip over. It says reproof. And if you look up the definition of reproof in Greek, it means to convict. Anything counter to the identity he died for. No one likes that part. Everyone's like, yeah! It's trying to prove something in you. It's trying to take something that's not supposed to be there anymore. And the next part, it says for correction, and we'll just leave that there. That's pretty obvious. The next part says it's for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. I've often tried to do things on my own and I find out they're never good works. That's why we need a savior. And so anytime we're trying to step into a new realm with God and start walking with him in a new way, the word of God is gonna be the first thing he draws your attention to. It trains you in the righteousness in which he died for. One time I was going to a prayer line in college, and I love prayer lines, I think they're wonderful. And I go up there, and I ask for a prayer about this thing, and the guy starts praying, and then he looks me. You ever had someone look in your soul? You know what I mean? It's usually like your grandma. I told you not to do that, and you're like, oh God. Like, this man looked at me and said, Samuel, what does the word say? And I was like, He goes, great. Why don't you go find out and I'll pray for you later? And I was like, because oftentimes, hear my heart in this, we're going to prayer because we don't want to spend time in the word. I'm looking for another prophetic word. He's got 66 books with like a ton of words in them that could shape the course of your life. But oftentimes the word sits here in our opinions, sit on top of it. When he's like, no, 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 this is what you come under. You come under my word. I'm your Lord. Gosh, I'm getting fired up. I feel so hot in here. Does anybody else just feel like weirdly warm with the fire of the Lord? God bless. Okay. I don't even know if we're gonna get through this, honestly. Joel, stop it. Come on, dude. Okay, but here's the thing. The word of God is a sword, and it's so much a sword that in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this: the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God pierces everything about you. And not only does it cut you, it heals you at the same time. And here's the thing. You only get the healing side if you sit under the lordship of the Lord, or it'll feel like it's just cutting you. That healing oil comes when we actually look at the word and go, yes, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. This is what's interesting. We're probably in one of the greatest wars against the enemy that we've seen in history. Crazy ideologies, crazy things are happening in the world. And we have to remember, the Lord knew we needed a sword that could put us on the offensive. And what happens is we play defense too much. These attacks are coming at me. Listen, I understand about the attacks. My wife was in the hospital and she was getting scans, and we get a scan that we thought was really, really scary. And I didn't just sit there and go, why, God? I got so mad I started praying for people in the ER. Not because I'm an awesome Christian, because I'm like, this is what the kingdom says that we need to do. There are things that we are letting oppress us that has no right to do that. No authority to do that. And the word of God cuts. It's so powerful that Jesus himself uses it as a weapon in Matthew chapter 4. Did you hear what I said? God himself uses the word. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, Satan comes and tempts Jesus three times with things that Satan actually had the authority to offer because we gave it up. And Jesus doesn't sit there and go like, oh man, here we go again. What does he say? He says, it is written. The moment he says this, the enemy has to come back. Oh, well, what about the riches of the world? It is written. Then he says it one more time. It is written. And some of us, and I'm going to say even myself, I found myself stuck in cycles, whether it's sin or issues, and I'm not replying with it is written. And I wonder why I can't get out of it. It is written is one of the most powerful things you have, is to reply with that. It's living and active. And here's what's interesting. When we say yes to Jesus, we sit under his lordship. We don't get, our opinions do not inform him what he does. This is what it says in John chapter 1. It's such a profound passage. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Can we all agree that we need to sit under the authority of the word? Yes? The second part is probably the hardest. You actually have to obey it. Hear my heart in this. I understand obedience is tough sometimes. I understand that obey, for some reason in the church world, has turned into a cuss word. If we want to activate the authority of Scripture in our life, obedience has to be an answer. And it's not obedience on our own free will, it's obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if it was on our free will, hear me, we would never have needed Jesus. But it wasn't. It's because we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do even the hardest things that God is asking us to do. And I want to give you a couple examples of how the authority cut me, healed me, and gave me a new authority in some realm. Example number one is this. Some of you may know that my father was murdered in front of me when I was 14 years old, shot and killed right in front of me. Horrific scene. That was the day that hatred was birthed in me. Hatred for the man who did it. Hatred for anyone that would do anything to me. It wasn't like I would brush it to the side. I would store it in a little pocket of like, see, this is why people are awful. See, this is why I can't trust people. See, this is why I can't do this. And I was storing this hatred and anger. And at 22 to 23 years old, God asked me this question. I was in my apartment. The Holy Spirit just comes into the room. And I hear this. I want to say, to be honest, it was almost audible. It scared me. And I hear this voice. Do you want to learn to love like me? And being a 22, 23-year-old zealous person, sure, Lord, why not? And all of a sudden, everything within me started to feel this holy tremble almost. And I hear the Lord say, who did I love more the day your dad died? Joshua, the man who shot him, or your father? And I begin to just weep. Weep. Because I knew he loved them the same. And a scripture popped out of my heart that was in there from eating this word and staying in it. Something popped out of me. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It was the Holy Spirit and the Word of God convicting me and drawing me into this new reality of authority that proceeded after it. Example number two is this. I used to struggle with the fear of man. And what the fear of man means is this. You live for the approval of others and you die by their rejection. You soften the truth so people like you more. You're willing to lie instead of tell the truth so the relationship stays the same. You're willing to gossip in a moment when you hear God say, stop. You're so afraid of what everyone thinks around you, it cripples you. You don't even share the gospel and you know it's the thing that saved your life, not because you're a bad person. You're just afraid of, will that relationship end if they actually know I believe in Jesus? I'm sitting in my house about 6 to 7 years ago and a man's preaching and he starts reading Galatians 1 verse 10 and it says this, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. That thing cut me so deeply, I began to wail. It wasn't like, I was screaming, being delivered of this thing that plagued me when my dad died. I get fully delivered, and this is what the fruit of that is. It activated that I've seen so many people free from the spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of fear of man. I've seen all of it. I've seen a lot of people free from it, not because I'm awesome, because whatever God does in you, he wants to do. So there's a reality that we can walk in that the scripture activates an authority in us. But sometimes it's got to cut something out of us first. This is what God is doing. And do I have moments where I'm like, do I actually have the fear of man like off of me? Yes, the enemy throws these things back at me, but this is what I reply. It is written. For whom the Son set free is, either it's true or it's a lie. There's no in between. And I believe it's true. Here's the thing. Once we begin to sit under that authority of Scripture, once we choose to partner with the Holy Spirit to obey this thing that is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the bone and marrow, the soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and the heart of man, when we begin to obey this, this level of faith starts to come out of us. I get asked all the time by people, it is a little bit because I am crazy, but they always say, well, how do you have so much faith to pray for these things? Why are you always full of faith? I wish I could say, well, I go to my room and I pray 48 hours a day, you know, double, but I don't. There's something about this book that I just trust. I'm okay with you wrestling with the Word of God. I'm not okay with you deconstructing because you don't like what it says. And the problem is a lot of us will do that. We'll say, well, does it really say that? Because it cut you. And you didn't like it. And the reality is just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not God. And so what happens is when I begin to obey the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, this thing of faith comes out of me. Let's look at Romans 10, verse 17. One of you right now, you've been watching pornography every night for 14 days, like right around 14 to 15 days straight, and today is your day of freedom. I just saw someone sitting at a Dell computer. It wasn't a Mac, it was a Dell. And God wants to deliver you. Do not be ashamed when we make an altar call because the Lord is gonna free you this morning because that's what the Word of God says. Does that make sense? Someone in this room, I specifically saw you. God's gonna do some stuff this morning, not because of a super special anointing, it's because his word was preached and he honors his word. He honors it. Romans 10, 17 says this. So faith, it's the Greek word pistis, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of who? The word of Christ. What is the word of Christ? This is the good news of the gospel. The moment you say yes to Jesus, faith is born in your heart. You couldn't muster up the faith. The Holy Spirit releases that to you and you have faith to believe. But I want to read this to you because I think we need to remember what he ripped us from. The gospel is this, that Jesus left heaven and came to earth through the human race that betrayed him. God came and lived amongst us, longing to be with his people. He lived a perfect and sinless life, and yet we still crucified him. We beat him. We spit on him. We pulled his beard out. And he willingly gave his life up so we're no longer bound by sin, death, but that we may become sons and daughters of the Lord. Amen. He rose again on the third day, sent his Spirit to dwell within us, to partner with us. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying and pleading for you until he returns with a sword of fire. That is what he is doing. That is the gospel. And if we want to walk in a greater measure of faith, you know, when things oppress you and attack you and you want that faith to rise out of you, do not forget what he's brought you from. Yeah. Too often do we let things just slip back where he's actually pulled you out of. Some of you, your marriage was only saved because of Jesus, not because of a counselor or a class, but because of Jesus. We cannot forget what he's done for us. Your occupation should never take a back seat to the Great Commission. This is what the scripture is telling us, to be people of the faith, people of the word. And scripture tells us this over and over, that the word of the Lord would come to someone like Abraham and Moses, like David, like Solomon, like Mary or Paul. And they wouldn't have the faith then, but when the word came, faith ignited within them to do what they needed to do. I think some of us are waiting on the 40th prophetic word and God's just waiting on obedience. I'm all for prophetic words. Listen, give me them. I love them. I store them. I record them. I do all the things. But some of that faith we're looking for is only found by being in this. This is what I love about the Lord. And I just want to say this actually. We don't obey scripture to just get rewards. He's not a transactional God, he's a relational God. When I obey, do I see fruit? Absolutely. But I'm not gonna just obey because I want a reward. The only reward you will hear when you die is well done, good and faithful servant. The only reward we get is actually more of Jesus. Is he still enough? And so when this faith arises in me, when I sit under the authority, when I begin to obey with partnership of the Holy Spirit, and as faith starts rising out of me, fruit starts to pop up all around me. And this is the fruit that we start to see. Mark 16, verse 17 through 18. These miraculous signs will accompany those who are only apostles, preachers, teachers, and evangelists. If we could just take this and really believe this scripture, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. It's the same faith word in Romans. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. If they drink any deadly poison, they will not harm them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will what? Money back guaranteed. And yet, we pray, what if it doesn't happen? Start praying, what if it does? What if that person actually gets out of that wheelchair? What if cancer actually leaves their body? What if my dad says yes to Christ? What if my sibling finally stops running away from God? What if? And that fruit begins to be just addicting because you just see Jesus touching people's lives over and over and over again. Is your cubicle at work supposed to be the breakthrough zone in your offices? Are you in that certain classroom? You've been praying, God, would you send the people? And God's like, I sent you. Are you maybe the person in the family, you're the first saved, you're the first Christian in your family, and God's like, yeah, now we're gonna get all of them. Like maybe we just have to switch our reality of like, God wants your friends and family saved more than you do. He put his blood on it. And if we could just sit in humility and say, God, I don't actually know, and I trust this, There was a saying growing up for me that said, if the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. But I added one to it. Are you ready? If the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, I'll wrestle with it, and I'm still wrong. I'm fine with wrestling that thing. I'm a football player. We did a bunch of wrestling drills. I'm fine with wrestling with the word. We're just never right when we get done. Here's the thing. Someone was talking to me, and they said, like, do we really need to, like, really pound in the authority of the word? I'm like, yeah, because some of us are 20 years Christian, and we still lie and think it's fine. It's not because you're a horrible person. It's because this isn't just a Sunday sitting under the authority. This is Monday when that pornography temptation comes, and you go, but it is written, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is what God is doing, and the fruit pops up effortlessly. So when we sit under that authority and we choose in partnership to obey what the word says, faith starts rising up in us, and then fruit starts popping up around us. But I'll be honest, there's a fruit that I've been craving deeply. It's for the lost. It's for the lost. I wish I could tell you I crave the lost like I do now my whole life, but I didn't. I'm tired of walking by people and worried that they go to hell in the next moment. I'm tired of seeing people and going, I don't know where you're going. Something God is doing in me, and I don't know what it is. I'm craving U of I. I'm craving Parkland. I'm craving Central, Centennial, Thomas. I'm craving it. I don't need a platform to preach the gospel. Are you craving the lost in your family? Are you craving the person who backstabbed you over and over again that they would be set free? Scripture does something inside of us. It awakens us to the kingdom of God and the reality of what he's been trying to do over and over and over again, and he wants to use you. We have to sit and say, God, you know best. And then we have to obey as if he actually does know best. And then faith just starts rising up in us. And we start to see fruit all around us. Listen, there's people in this room right now, you don't know Jesus at all. And I say this in love, and I don't need applause after it. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a part of it. You actually need a moment where you confess. In Romans chapter 10, I want to read this to you. But what does it say? The word is near you. And if your mouth, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that what God did was raise him from the dead, you will be what? There is a way to actually be saved. It's confession and belief in Jesus. There's no other way. Steve, you can come out with the keys, brother. I said this first service, but you know, I grew up where we only had an organ and it was rough. And the Baptist church really did a good thing for me. They helped me love the word of God, and also I didn't really like worship. And it's because I didn't understand that it wasn't about a platform or a band, it was about a man. And so sometimes when people play keys, there's two different ball games. Some people are like, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't really do anything. You know, it's just a little spiritual. And some people are like, but if the keys aren't played, God won't move, you know? I believe that when, I mean, just that right there, wow. I actually believe that when the keys are played, it's because, and this guy's name is Steve, he's actually giving an offering to the Lord. Your offering this morning might be your tears or sounds and screams of deliverance. Your offering might be your sickness at the feet of the God who heals. It might be your family member that you bind them to the cross. And you say, I bind Chrissy to the cross. I bind Jack to the cross. The rest of Romans says this, for with the heart one believes, it's the same word as faith, and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to hear? How do they believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Today is the day of salvation, not just for the first time, but because he's gonna pull you out of stuff you've been stuck in. This is the God we serve. Kingdom authority is activated by realizing this has to sit here. My life needs to look like this. Faith comes out of me and fruit starts happening around me. I just wanna be honest with you. Anytime I preach, I try not to be distracted because I can see people bound by things a lot of times. And it's not because I'm a super sensitive seer, it's because I know what it looks like to be bound by unforgiveness and the fear of man. I know what it looks like to live in disobedience to the word of God and then wonder why my life has never changed. I understand that. I believe there's three things that God is gonna start delivering people from and setting them free. I'm gonna ask you, it's all these wonderful people who have a fire and a zeal of the Lord on them. Look at you, you're burning for the Lord. He's gonna set you free so radically. Julie, put your hand on her. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray for all that fear to leave you, all that unforgiveness from things done wrong to you. Father, I pray that weight she's been carrying over and over right now would be burned up by the fire of the Lord right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. I believe there's three realms right now that God is gonna start healing and setting people free. Number one is this, the spirit of unforgiveness. Listen, do you wanna stay bound by unforgiveness longer than you need to be? Some of you, it's been years, and I get it. People have done horrible things to you, and I still have to choose to forgive those who gossip about me, slander me, say things behind my back. I still have to sit and say, Jesus, I'm so mad. But you're so worth it because you forgave me. I get it. And if that's you and you're like, I'm tired of being bound by unforgiveness, I want you to come out of your seat right now. I don't want you to wait. If you're able, I want you to get all the way to as far as possible up front. The Lord's delivering her right now. That's what you're hearing, is sounds of deliverance. And some of you, you've pent up your emotions because you're scared to let them out. God wants to free you. The second group is this. I can see it. I can see it sitting right over here, the fear of man. You have changed your entire life because you're afraid of what your father would say. You're afraid of what other people would say about you. You won't share the gospel because you know he set you free, but what if they knew? Fear of man is gonna be driven out of your life this morning. There is a power and a holy fire that is coming upon people right now. And listen, if you feel like something is coming off of you and you feel like you're about to make a noise and you're about to be like, ah, don't shut that down. That is fear of man telling you to be quiet. If you begin to have sounds of deliverance, that's totally fine. That is God freeing you and healing you. And the last thing is this, and I wanna say this in all sincerity and love. There are men in here who are married and you've been watching pornography and God is tired of it. And he wants to free you from it because he knows that if you keep going that way, the marriage in which you do love will not be good. And he wants to pull that thing from you. And if that is you, there is no shame. You might have to talk to your wife later, but there is no shame. Come to the front and be free. The last thing is this. We'll have baptisms and salvations. John Hutchison's over there. You can go find him and his team. The last thing is this, and I say this in all tenderness because the Lord did this to me on Friday. I was so mad about stuff. I was frustrated. My kids were doing things, and I just lashed out at them. And the Lord said, do you remember in Ephesians when I say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger? I said, yes, Father. He's like, go repent right now. So I had to go repent to my kids. If you know the Lord has been speaking to you something about this book, this word, and you've been directly living in the opposite direction, I wanna tell you in love, you're willfully sinning against the Lord. You're choosing to go and turn the other direction when he's drawing you to himself. If you know, hey, the Lord has been dealing with me about gossip and yet I still do it and I like it, God wants to deliver you and free you. If you know, you've been holding a grudge, God wants to free you. This book I trust. It's not because I'm super anointed or the worship team's super anointed. It's because this book says he's gonna heal people, deliver people. And if you need a miracle in your life physically, our entire team will pray for you.